Let me get the lighter out. Light that candle. There we go. Candle, match lit. Friends, good morning. Winter is upon us. How good it is to gather together in the warmth of this fellowship, of this church family, each Sunday morning. Whether you're joining us in person, on Zoom, or over Facebook, we are so glad that you're here. Please take a moment to let us know that you're here, either by filling out the green welcome pad at the end of your row, following the QR code in your bulletin, or just clicking on the link in the chat thread over Zoom. And as always, you can take a moment to fill out, to write down the joys and concerns that you bring with you on the one of the prayer cards in the row alongside you, or by typing your prayer concerns into the chat thread over Zoom. The children will collect them all later in the service. We don't pass the offering plates very often anymore, but the offering box is in the back. Or you can always give directly through the office. Thank you so much for your generosity at the end of last year to help significantly close the budget gap. Your faithful giving makes possible the incredible ministry of this church that we do together. Next week, we'll also be rolling out the red wagon to take up our collection for the food pantry. The item of the month this month is peanut butter. So you can bring your jars of peanut butter with you. I want to offer a special thanks to those of you who helped with Friday's blood drive in the fellowship hall. 30 units of blood were donated, which is great because there is a high need right now. If you weren't able to give, there are other opportunities coming up in Huntingdon because the need is so high. Next Saturday is the return of the monthly men's breakfast at Donna's restaurant. It is always a great time of food and fellowship together. And next Sunday, the Sojourners have a special guest. Aaron Rafferty, the author of the book they've been studying, will be joining us. Aaron is a friend of ours from seminary. She's brilliant and thoughtful. She'll be offering insights and answering questions about her book, From Inclusion to Justice. It's about moving from programs for disabled people to instead becoming a transformed community that welcomes all as full participants. It should be a great conversation. All are invited. Even if you haven't read the book with the class, I think you will still get a lot out of it. This summer, Stone Church will again be sending delegations to Guatemala to work together with our partners there. Today, after worship, there will be a Q&A session for families interested in learning more about the special new elementary delegation. It's an incredible opportunity. Henry is pairing up kids from our congregation, from our delegation, together with children of the same age from our partner school as we have adventures together, a linguistic and cross-cultural opportunity to build bridges. Stone Church is offering scholarships, too, to make it more affordable. If you're a family with elementary-age kids, please stick around after the service to learn more. It'll be in the conference room just behind the organ here. Tomorrow, the offices will be closed in honor of Martin Luther King Day, but you are invited to take part in a community meal that's presented by Juniata College as part of Juniata's MLK Day of Service. The meal is from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Community Center downtown. All are invited. The meal's free and open to the public. Today in worship, we've got a special service in store for you. This morning, the Reverend Dr. King will help us interpret and understand the scriptures. We'll seek to pray alongside King and people of color through a series of scriptures alongside sermons and writings by Dr. King. Some of the readings are difficult to hear. We may feel some angst. But that's by design. As Dr. King said, he is inviting us to be dissatisfied, divinely dissatisfied, because that divine dissatisfaction drives us out of comfort and toward action. So let us prepare our hearts and minds together for worship.
Please rise as you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship written in your bulletins. Bell Hooks writes, "Rarely, if ever, are any of us healed in isolation. We gather in community for healing, for courage, for growth. Recognizing that our body is not whole, even as our spirits long to be. Together, we enter the difficult work of seeing fully, seeing others and seeing ourselves. We could embrace despair, but we choose to sing. We choose faith. We choose community. We choose hope."
Thank you. It is time for the younger among us to collect any prayer cards. If you have a prayer card, please hold it up so that the kids can collect it and then come forward. Watch out for the trumpet, please. Thank you. Thank you. You can take them to Dad. You can take them to Dad.
What's that thing? It kind of looks like a flaming peanut.
It looks like a flaming peanut. I don't know. When we get to that section, you can tell me what you think it is. Oh, yeah.
Is that God?
So, yep, you guys can gather on in so you can see the pictures. I don't know. So I have a special book for us that I hope helps us have a bigger vision of who God is and who God can be with us. So this book is called God's Holy Darkness by Sherry Green and Becca Selnick. Hi, Leo. Leo, if you can't see the pictures, they're up on the screen too, okay? So God's Holy Darkness. Darkness and blackness and night are too often compared to lightness and whiteness and day and found deficient. But let us name the beauty and goodness and holiness of darkness and blackness and night. God used darkness and blackness and night to show love for the world. Creation began in the dark. In the beginning, darkness covered the face of the deep. God poured out love and brought all things into being. Creation is God's work done in holy darkness. When Abraham began to doubt God's promises, the Lord took him on a walk and pointed to the night sky. Look toward the heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, so shall your descendants be. Later, Jacob wrestled all night with God and was changed forever. The beginning of many nations and peoples of the Lord is the work of God's beautiful darkness. Here we go, Cece. It's your picture.
It's the flaming peanut comet.
At midnight, the Lord passed over Egypt and set the people free. Moses worked in partnership with God. Samuel heard a small voice calling to him in the dark and became a mighty prophet. When the temple was complete, King Solomon said, "The Lord has said he would dwell in thick darkness." The Spirit of God dwells in the holy darkness where we are invited to be held in God's love. Angels appeared to the shepherds in the dark and told them of a baby in a manger. The disciples gathered with Jesus for the Holy Supper as the day turned to night. When Jesus died on the cross, the day went black from noon to 3. Creation began in holy darkness, and our new lives as free people in Christ began in the darkness of the sky that day. God saved all creation, and it was the work of God's beautiful, good, and holy darkness. Rich black soil brings forth abundant life. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The deep dark of the ocean holds more life than has even been discovered. We are reminded of the size of God's creation through the boundless, beautiful black of outer space. From the beginning of creation to the stars in the night sky, we are shown God's love. In houses of worship with dark spaces for wonder, we are held in God's love. In the dark soil and the deep sea, we are reminded of God's love. From the promise of peace made to the shepherds at night to the promise of Jesus made on the cross, these are the beautiful works of God's holy darkness. The end. Let's say a prayer together. You can repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us and being with us in darkness and in light. Amen.
As we enter into this litany or liturgy that will be the bulk of our service, we wanted to share some background. First, liturgy is a word that means work of the people. We participate. And hopefully, what we do in the liturgy in this space leads us out into the liturgy, as in the work, that we do out in the world. This particular liturgy was adapted from one written by Claudio Carvalhais in his book, Praying with Every Heart, Orienting Our Lives to the Wholeness of the World. And we will alternate scriptures with readings from Dr. King's sermon, A Tough Mind and a Tender Heart, the letter King wrote from the Birmingham jail in 1963, and his Nobel Prize speech, as well as prayers written by Claudio Carvalhais. Likely, some of the writings will make us feel uncomfortable, or sad, or angry. But this praying is important. Carvalhais writes, prayers can shift our worldviews, our desires. They can call for change and offer seeds of change. Perhaps it is wishful thinking, but I do believe prayers can offer seeds of change. Prayers can shift our feelings, move our ideas, transform our behaviors, invent new ecclesiologies and concrete forms of mission, create new practices, and bring about forms of concrete love for people we never knew we could love or even had to love in a real way. And so I invite you to enter into this liturgy with openness.
Words of the prophet Amos. Hear this word, O Israel, this lament I take up concerning you. This is what the Lord says to Israel. Seek me and live. There are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in the court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts.
Hear these words from Dr. King. Let us consider the need for a tough mind, characterized by incisive thinking, realistic appraisal, and decisive judgment. The tough mind is sharp and penetrating, breaking through the crust of legends and myths and sifting the true from the false. This prevalent tendency towards soft-mindedness is found in humanity's unbelievable gullibility. Soft-minded persons have revised the Beatitudes to read, "Blessed are the pure in ignorance, for they shall see God." There is little hope for us until we become tough-minded enough to break loose from the shackles of prejudice, half-truths, and downright ignorance. But we must not stop with the cultivation of a tough mind. The gospel also demands a tender heart. Tough-mindedness without tender-heartedness is cold and detached, leaving one's life in a perpetual winter, devoid of the warmth of spring and the gentle heat of summer. What is more tragic than to see a person who has risen to the disciplined thoughts, heights of tough-mindedness, but has at the same time sunk to the passionless depths of hard-heartedness?
Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. You say you can't wait for the Lord to come? Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. For I despise, I hate your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
I am thankful that we worship a God who is both tough-minded and tender-hearted. If God were only tough-minded, he would be a cold, passionless despot, sitting in some far-off heaven, contemplating all, as Tennyson puts it. But if God were only tender-hearted, he would be too soft and sentimental to function when things go wrong and incapable of controlling what he has made. God is neither hard-hearted nor soft-minded. He is tough-minded enough to transcend the world. He is tender-hearted enough to live in it. At times, we need to know that the Lord is a God of justice. When some slumbering giants of injustice emerge in the earth, we need to know that there is a God of power who can cut them down like the grass and leave them withering like the Greek herb. When our most tireless efforts fail to stop the surging sweep of oppression, we need to know that in this universe is a God whose matchless strength is a fit contrast to the sordid weakness of humanity.
Please join me in the unison prayer for a new way of thinking.
We praise you, God, because from your tough mind and tender heart, you have looked upon us equally. But we have made your love look more favorably on some. We pray that in our worship together, you may help us see how some have benefited from a certain sense of your love, while others have not. We believe in justice, even when we see and perpetuate injustice. May your tough mind and soft heart help us in our racism. Help us find courage to hear what we need to hear and engage with one another and repent, becoming better people to one another. Amen.